With prospects for an American-led attack against Iraq growing daily, concern about the consequences of a war also are growing. These concerns are greatest in the Arab world and among the six countries that border Iraq. In Jordan, for example, plots of land along its common border have been set aside as possible settlements for Iraqis fleeing the country. Turkey is preparing to send troops into northern Iraq once hostilities break out to keep the Kurdish population there contained. And an Iraqi Shiite militia opposed to Saddam Hussein reportedly already is occupying a stretch of northern Iraq. Within Egypt, which is a close ally of the United States and no friend of Saddam Hussein, there are fears that a war in Iraq could destabilize an already volatile region. NPR's Michael Sullivan reports from Cairo on what Arab analysts say are the risks of regime change in Baghdad.
U.S. military leaders have been careful to avoid predicting how long it will take to subdue Saddam's forces in the event of war. But the administration has been hinting it expects the process to take weeks, not months. Many Arab analysts agree, but say it's not the war, but what follows that worries them. Waleed Kaziha teaches political science at the American University in Cairo.
A neat military operation to defeat Saddam is possible to launch, but the aftermath of that is unimaginable. It's going to be very messy.
Abdelmonim Said of the Al-Ahram Center for Political and Strategic Studies says the first Bush administration recognized this fact after the last Gulf War.
The issue is you are balanced not always between good and the bad, you sometimes between the bad and the worse. And the reasons for keeping Saddam in 1991 in power, as bad as it was at the time, it's because it was reasons. Chaos, expansion of Iran, regional wars and ramifications that hit on the Arab-Israeli other problem of the region. So you have a whole series of issues.
But this President Bush appears to have decided the potential benefits outweigh the risks. A liberated Iraq, he said in a speech last week, can show the power of freedom to transform the region by bringing hope and progress into the lives of millions. In that speech, he also made reference to post-World War II Japan and Germany as the models for a new Iraq.
The Americans are very optimistic. I don't think Iraq is Japan or Germany. It's rather Yugoslavia.
Political scientist Mohammed Kamal of Cairo University.
It consists of different ethnic groups that were put together under colonial rule and then stayed together under the iron fist of Saddam and the Ba'ath Party.
And once that iron fist is removed, analysts like Waleed Kaziha say, Iraq will begin to unravel as these groups begin to scramble for their share of the pie.
Kurd versus Turkoman, Shia versus Sunni, Assyrians, Muslims, Ba'athis versus non-Ba'athis, tribes versus urban centers. There are 1,000 contradictions, and it's a tough task for anyone to control.
Some here say if the U.S. fails to address these contradictions, Iraq could quickly disintegrate into a Kurdish state in the north, a Sunni state in the center, and a Shiite state in the south. The question is, what kind of system will the U.S. set up to prevent this? President Bush speaks of a democratic Iraq, but in the short term, the U.S. military is likely to run the country, and the administration has yet to define what comes after that. Mohammed Kamal sees only two workable options in a country not used to democracy: a benign dictator or prolonged U.S. military rule. Both, he says, are bad for the U.S.'s image in Iraq and the region.
The first image, a benign authoritarian leader, then you haven't changed much. All your talk about democracy and so on is not realized. And then if you have a military rule, then you have military occupation of a country which will be resented by almost everyone in the Arab world.
The U.S. has yet to explain how it intends to reform and democratize Iraq's political system, now firmly in the control of Saddam's ruling Ba'ath Party. There have been hints the administration plans to leave some lower-level Ba'athists in place in order to help run Iraq's infrastructure. But Abdelmonim Said says that's a risky proposition.
in fact, you are playing with the double-edged sword of using the Ba'ath administrative system in Iraq by removing only the heads of it, but the rest of it is there, while you are trying to go into a de-Ba'athification of the Ba'ath party in the country. That means you are dealing with the enemy and using it in the same time.
And says Cairo University's Mohammed Kamal, there's no clear indication how U.S. troops would be received by the Iraqi people if and when the war starts.
I don't think they're going to welcome American troops, because these troops are associated with George Bush and his policies in the region. So even though many Iraqis, I would say, would like to get rid of Saddam, they don't want this to be done by American troops.
But most analysts say they expect the initial response from Iraqi civilians to be favorable. The difficulty, they say, will come when the various groups competing for influence begin to feel they are being left out. This is part of the reason, analysts say, why the U.S. military will need to stay in Iraq for far longer than the 1 or 2 year time frame the Bush administration appears to favor. But this too presents a problem. The longer the U.S. stays, the more likely it will be seen as an occupying power. That could lead to an increase in terrorist attacks against U.S. targets in Iraq and around the globe, with more young Muslims flocking to Islamic militant groups like al-Qaeda. Again, analyst Waleed Kaziha.
By the end of the day, we might end up with several bin Ladens, not only one. And that's what I mean by Iraq being a really messy situation afterwards.
Michael Sullivan, NPR News, Cairo.